So we can't ask me who's praying. Father, I do just thank you that you are Lord of all. Lord, bring us to a place in our lives by faith we can walk in the reality of allowing you to be Lord of our lives. That we be like the creation that groans for its redemption. Let's pray that you would speak to our hearts here this morning. But Lord, we don't want to hear about you. We just want to know you more. That you would reveal yourself to us in a way that when we leave here, we're more intimately in love with you than we came. So I just pray that you would just speak to our hearts and touch us, encourage us, and strengthen us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I told Ken I was going to read John 21, 1 to 19, and he said, can you get that done in 45 minutes? So, we're going to do more. Most of the time I teach for about 4 or 5 verses and we're done. So if you would like, what I would like to do, what's really on my book, originally I wanted to teach Colossians 2, 8 through 10, which is, I warn you not to be cheap, you know, and have your life things stolen from your life. But this actually just came up a couple of weeks ago in my devotions, and I really feel that it's a really awesome way to see how it's a picture of how the Lord reveals Himself to us. It gives us a picture of His heart. And the last words of the verse that we're going to look at today are, follow me. So I felt like the Lord was saying, today I'm going to kind of like throw a lot of things out there, and I hope it makes sense. But I might start at the back and work my way forward. Or I don't know how it's going to work. That's why I have no notes. Jesus, and this, most everybody who read the story of Peter and Jesus at the shore, do you love me? The 3 times. That's what we're going to be looking at today. But I am going to go ahead and read. We're going to start in chapter 20, verse 19, and go to 21:19. And what I want to look at, these 3 times are the first three visits of Jesus after his resurrection, before his ascension. So this is him meeting with his disciples after his death and resurrection. And I think there's a lot of neat and cool things in here that we can just grab simply. But most importantly, I think we find the heart of the Father and the love Jesus has for us and all of us. And so, I'm going to read, and we're going to go from there. Unless somebody else wants to read. All right, I'll read. Then the same day at evening, beginning being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. He said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net filled with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." And by the way, that's what caught my attention for today. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now this was the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most surely I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would die, that he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Any thoughts? Disciples had it together, didn't they? No? Come on. Let's be real. Did the disciples have it together? No. Any of you feel like you had it together?
No.
Now we've got something to work with. Because if you did, we'd be scared. No. But what really stood out to me, and I really wanted to just talk about, because in 21, but I thought it was really neat that the Lord shows up and deals with the disciples the way he shows up and deals with each of us daily. I don't see Peter, get it together. Didn't I tell you? Okay, so the first visitation, how did Jesus minister to them? What did he deal with? Their fear. Right? They were all in the room afraid of the Jews. But also think about this. All these men left Jesus. So Anybody here had a little fear after they knew that they've denied Christ in their decisions day by day? Or you just feel guilty and things like that? Look, what the Lord's going to do is show up and say what you need to hear. Peace. He's not going to come down and slap you. He's going to, the script, we as men or humans, whatever, we've been taught, do well this. I'll treat you this way. If not, you get punished. The way the Lord punishes us is by loving us. He reveals Himself to us so that we can see a picture of who He is, so that we might want it and draw near and go after Him. He doesn't want to slap you around and drag you around, make you feel like you have to follow Him. So in the first meeting, all these guys just, I mean, think about it. They're afraid of the Jews that are going to kill them, or just fear, but they all denied Jesus. And all the Jews knew it. So did they have a basis for their fear? Not really. Because if they denied Him when He was still living, what were they going to do when He's there? You know. So the Lord met them right where they were. And some of us right today might have fears. We might have not been paying attention. We might have failed the Lord. We might have denied Him in our decisions, which we do daily, maybe by moment a lot of times, I think. And this isn't to be a heavy trip. It's just reality. And so as you have people that all of a sudden say, hey, Thomas, we got to see the Lord. I'm not going to believe unless I can put, I see Him myself and I can put my finger in the nail prints and in His side. And Jesus loved him enough that He says, don't, it's almost like a, it's emotional, believe, don't be unbelieving. So on the second visit, He comes in and meets them in unbelief. They're all still in the room. There's some really cool stuff that you see after the first visit. I think a lot of times we'll get teachings on how dumb the disciples were and all this, and how we try to figure out what they did wrong. The Lord just says, peace. You're living in fear. Let me show up, and I want you to have peace. Now, ultimately, we need to learn that He is our peace. That we're going to find our peace through Him, and like through Him, peace comes. The first meeting, right after peace, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. Wait a minute, aren't they all in a room of fear? What do they have to say? As the Father sent me, I sent you. That's His first words to them. After taking care of their fear, He reminds them, my Father bore me and my mother too, just like you were. And the Holy Spirit that came upon me and stayed with me, I'm ready to breathe on you. That you can walk a life trusting not in yourself, resting in Christ and following Him and allowing Him to lead you. But we all have that. Once you're born again, we might have had a fear of death or fear of other people, and the Lord's going to come in and meet you and establish you and strengthen you. But you need to remember that you've been put here on this earth and you were formed in your mother's womb. God uniquely made each of you for a purpose, ultimately to know Him and a life that He wants you to walk out with Him and enjoy. And He gives us the Spirit to do that. And what happens after you have fears, and we all got born again, we know, what's the next stage in our lives? Unbelief. That's a consistent stage for the rest of our lives. But we have fears, He deals with this, He gives us His peace, He comes, how does He deal with unbelief? Peace. I come, peace. You. Second statement, peace to you. The second visit, same thing. How does he deal with unbelief? Peace. The peace that passes all understanding. We learn to know him, but when you're doubting and you're in fear, it's hard. And then he says, just believe. Do you really, can I ask all of you here, do you honestly believe that as the Father has made Christ and sent him, is the same for you? There is no difference. Except we're human, with the Holy Spirit within us. He wants us to have that same relationship, I believe. That we walk less and less in trusting in the world and things we see, and walk more and more on faith and trusting in the Lord. But I think we need to see the Lord to trust Him more. We need to get to know Him to trust Him. And I think it's really cool. That's why you had the third visit. Any thoughts? Or just keep going? Okay, we'll keep going. So here we're told, and that just kind of sums up, but really here with the heart of the Lord, Jesus came, just like he did for Thomas, he will do for each of you. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And he'll come in and say, peace. Are you enjoying that peace? Are you resting? Because it takes walking in love and not fear. It's hard to have peace when you're walking in fear. And it's hard to have peace when you have unbelief. You're indecisive. You're not assured. So then we get to chapter 21. And there's a lot of things said here. But I want to say one thing. A lot of people talk about it took three times for him to ask Peter if he loved him to restore him back because he denied him three times. Well, me personally, my Lord don't work that way because he's already revealed himself to Peter and already told him peace. He's dealt with that. He dealt with it with his fear because Peter had fear and unbelief on him in that statement. Little girl, aren't you one of them? I never knew the man. But so on the third time he shows up, and we get a bunch of stuff going on, because I think this is a tough one. Peter said, I'm going to eat. I'm going fishing. They said, we're going with you. They fished all night. When the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it's him. And children, you have any food? And they answered no. And he tells them to cast the net and tells him what to do. I've been trying for the last 2-3 weeks to try to figure out what is, like, it's easy to see fear. It's easy to see unbelief, but what's going on here? What do you guys think is the issue? Jesus is coming to show up to minister to them, right? Something, there's a reason it's in the book. So what's he ministering to?
He's returning to your old place because he's been a fisherman before.
Okay, that's one reason.
And that, you know,
it's just nature.
Well, and I'm not enough being sent out anywhere, and I'm just going to go back and do what I was doing.
So anybody walk with the Lord for a while and hadn't seen him for a little bit, you find yourself going back into doing the things that are natural to you? Okay? Any other reason why it could have happened? They could have been hungry. Okay?
When he first called some of the disciples, he did that and then called them to be disciples.
Mm-hmm.
They were out fishing and didn't catch anything. Basically, the weak way of what happened in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Bob.
Well, what he'll do is Peter, he's giving him a job description, taking care of giving him peace, taking care of Peter. He's encouraged him in his belief, and now he's
three things written, but we'll go with the two. But the neat thing is how he deals with whether you start to fall back into your old ways or you're just going out to feed your flesh. No matter what, he deals with all of them with one way. And it's really neat what the Lord showed me, because it was humbling, because all the instances, peace, feed, they're all corporate. We're going to be getting into a part where it's individual. And the reason why I say that is the Lord can minister to us in many ways corporately. And he might be able to calm your fears and help your unbelief. But there's going to be a certain point in time that he wants to bring you to himself and talk to you as an individual. Called personal relationship. Not to say all the other things aren't good. Do you see what Jesus said to the disciples when they're out in the water? Have anything to eat? What does he say? Children. Right? So, Jesus is just looking at them as he's fathering. He's getting ready to father them. If they're his children, he's going to father them. And luckily, we have a father of love. And the heart of the father is love. And this is how Jesus is going to deal. All of it's in love, right? Because he is love. But what he's trying to say, if you get caught up going back to your old ways, or you're just living after the flesh, what you need to see in me is the love I have for you. Because it's the love, it's his love that compels us. The love of Christ strains us, compels us, right? We love him because he first loved us. If I truly have a picture of Jesus and his beauty, I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to be falling in love. Like anybody here distracting? You guys back here, not yet. If you're not married, can't answer. Did anything distract you from your mate? Or like even first date? Was there anything that really got in the way? You wanted to know. You wanted to draw near. You wanted to know everything about him, and everything else seemed to be a bother. But sometimes when we don't see Jesus showing up for a while, we get distracted. And things like that. And his whole answer is always going to be the same. Peace, come. So I want to look at how Jesus deals with Peter. Now, I'm not sure, it doesn't say Jesus took Peter off to his side. Or if he just said it when they were all eating like we are together. But here's what can happen. Whether he did it either way, it was an individual conversation. And right now, we can be corporately talking and the Lord can individually call you by name and talk to you. Because no matter what, we all are going to stand before him individually, not corporately. Well, we will be corporately, but we meet him face to face. And so it's good to get to know him. It's good to find out. And I love how he deals with this. He first starts off with, "Do you love me more than these?" And what's he asking? Do you love me more than that person loves me? Or do you love me more than all these people? Do you love the Lord more than the people of the world? Or do the cares and concerns of this world hold you back? He doesn't answer. He just says, "You know I love you." And I think this is really important. Peter and all these. Jesus is saying, "Do you love me?" And that word's agape. Which is, well, if you want to read the definition, 1 Corinthians, love never ending. Peter's answer is, "I phileo." It's a brotherly love. But he said, "You know I love you." Jesus didn't say, "Well, that's not enough." Benny? Think about it. I know if you're at home or just honest with yourself, can you sit there and say, oh, I have agape, you know, that I know that I have enough love. But at least Peter had the honesty to say, I know I love you this much, and you know this. It's being honest and being real and being willing to be open. And so what does he say right after that? Feed my lambs. Right? Some people, it depends on versions, some say feed sheep through, the whole way through. Some have different things, but so feed my lambs. And so what does he mean by feeding the lambs? If this was the conversation you and the Lord just said, do you love me? Feed the lambs. What does that mean? We've got a bunch of dead lambs, I see. Now, the reason what I really, well, let's go through real quick and I want to show you something. And then he said, they asked him a second time, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, I love you. And then he says, tend my sheep. And the final one is, he's grieved after being asked a third time. You ever had that? Somebody keep asking, do you love me? Do you love me? But if, with us, if we're real, we would come to a place, Lord, you know. I don't even know if I love you the way, you know. But you know I love you. Jesus didn't argue with him. Did he? He knew he had a love for him, but it wasn't a perfected love. And that's where you and I, we're all here today. We have a love for the Lord. And he loves us completely, but we're learning to love him more, I hope. And so there's times he can stand in your, show up in your midst and meet your fears in there. And then there's a time he can be in the distance, but have your supplies ready for you. Notice here he had fish and bread ready. So he knows the things you need of before he has. You know, and then he pulls in fish, which is exceedingly abundantly above anything you ask, think, or imagine. When that's not the way you, where you fish from in the water, you know, you got a guy on the shore saying, oh, it didn't work, try the other side. These were fishermen. They didn't know who it was. They said they didn't know it was Jesus. But by faith, they took a chance and the Lord worked. But I thought it was kind of neat. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And follow me. Okay? After he was told how he was going to die. I guess in the past when I thought this, okay, now I'm going to walk with Jesus and try to figure it out and follow him and keep my eyes on him. But the reality is what Jesus did here with Peter is how he deals with, I think, all of us all the time. And his desire for us to see. Because Peter had people following him. I'm going fishing. We'll go with you. We all naturally have people who follow us. There's things that you have the ability of that just, you know, you walk in, just natural life. I'm not saying anything else. You have the ability to lead. But if you take that ability and look to the Lord, but people are going to follow you. You're a parent. You've got to feed your sheep. Lambs. And see that what the Lord says here is, look, if you would look out everybody and see the world, or see believers as young lambs. Remember he called them little children? Lambs? Well, you take care of a lamb a little different than you would take care of an adult. Right? I hope so. You don't feed a little baby solid food yet, do you? You give them milk until they're mature enough. There's ways, but to have a heart of the Father and a heart of love is to look out and see everybody as a child of God and want to minister to them with the heart of God. And what did he do for the children? He calmed their fears. He ministered to their unbelief. He fed them. He took care of their needs. And he's drawn Peter in to draw him closer, to give us an example that the Lord can meet you in places and you not even know it. Your fears be taken care of and all these things. But he wants to call you and draw you in individually. And be real with you. Do you love me? Only you can answer that individually. Lord, you know. He'll say, feed mine. And then the next one is, tend my sheep. Is this singular or plural? The word sheep.
Sheep can be plural or singular. In context, it could be.
I would say singular. Just me, because right now he was talking about the lambs who were his children. Now he's talking to Peter individually. And now he's tending to Peter individually. And if it's corporately, it could be either. But I do believe there's a point in time the Lord draws you to himself. Not to tell you how to deal with everyone else. But he wants to tend to you. And sometimes it's possible to go out and take care of a multitude feeding lambs, but there's a point in time that as you go out and tend to those lambs, it's individual. Just like I'm ministering to you individually. Sometimes there's a point in time to take what I'm showing you. And then finally, when he says feed my sheep, I think he goes back corporately. That's just me, it doesn't matter. And there's a reason why, because actually I look at chapter 18, Luke 22 is a fulfillment of something Jesus said to Peter when he told him about his denial. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should never not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. And so, now he's telling you to cheat. I've just taught you. I've just shown you. I brought you in, pulled you to my side. I've shown you that I can deal by my presence, be in your peace. I'll give you peace and I'm going to meet you here. But most importantly, I want to meet with you individually. I want you to understand I see you as a child that needs help, that I want to help raise. To be like-minded, like Christ, and that's what a Christian is. And so the Lord has a heart for you as a little child to raise you up and nurture you. And he wants to do that by drawing you and getting you to himself, by yourself, so that you can get real with him. And then as he ministers to you and you get real and he does these things, what he's done is just prepared you and shown you how to follow. Right? In like manner, do this. You draw people out, you share as you. And the Lord comforted me in this, and so that's why I'm sharing. So that's kind of why I think, like, when you return to me, go tell the brethren. Like, there's times where faith fails, the Lord meets us, and the next step is as he meets us and reveals to us who he is and what he wants, go share it, because every one of us go through the same trials. Don't be silent. As the Lord meets you in the secret place and strengthens you to walk out, be sharing it. Even if it's just a little thing, a little nugget that the Lord revealed about his love for you. Because it's the same love he has for everyone. So he wants you to take and sit and just receive and understand. Look at the people around you as little kids. Not to demean them. But didn't Jesus say, suffer not the little children to come to me? And to be born, you have to have faith as a little child. You know, we are his children. Sons of God. There are daughters in here. I hope. But let him feed you as a little child. But you know, as the scripture says in Peter, that we are a desire of pure milk with the word, right? which is able to save our souls. And as a little lamb, that's what we should have, a desire to get into the Word, to know that the Lord can nourish us with the simple simplicity of Christ. And it always has to stay simple. When you become too heady, it becomes difficult. But the Lord wants to take you, whether it's here now, and He's saying your name and speaking into your heart, He wants to settle you and give you peace. He wants to tend to you, whatever that need might be at the time. It might be that you're called off in this. But you're called off in this distraction, because the question is do you love me? And eventually it grieved Peter, and I think if we're honest, that, Lord, you know I love you, but I want to love you more. I want to know you more. And to love him, you need to get to know him. And so then you need to get away with him. And then as he ministers to you, he wants you to take that in and spew it out to minister to the rest of everyone. And I want to show you, if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, I think Peter got it. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness, to love. I think Peter got it. Peter, do you love me? Like a brother, you know that. But here Peter's saying that there's a point that we move on and press on. He's saying we go from brotherly kindness to true love. It's kind of interesting where the Lord met him. In the end, Peter comes out and says, he's right. Yeah, there's a love that you might have for him. But it can grow. And for others. That same love needs to grow. If you want to minister to people, you can deal with issues of faith. You can deal with issues. But most importantly, you have to have a heart of love. That's what the Lord wants to birth and continue to strengthen and grow, that we learn to love one another as Christ loves the church. That we learn to build one another up, encourage and strengthen one another. But the way that works is, first, we let Jesus draw us aside, get us together. And the way I can love you guys the best is to sit before my Lord and say, what do you have to say? You got to speak to me so I have something to speak. You have to feed me to be able to take something to feed. And so the way I look at this is, the Lord just said, here I am, and I know that you love me, but I want you to love me more. And as you're doing these things, the natural thing is if you love the Lord, you're going to love people. Because He says, how can you hate your brother and say you love me? Right? So love is hand in hand. There's no good to minister out of prophecy, it's no good to feed all the poor, because Paul tells us, without love, it profits nothing. And I do have a lot of notes. I don't know what I used, I didn't use. And it's only 39 minutes. Any thoughts? Did I make it confusing? Simple? God, it's not a work you can do on your own. It happens when you meet with Jesus and you yield. And He opens your eyes that you can see Him more clearly. And I hope that it would make you want Him more. I believe that's what He does. He just continues to open up your eyes of the love of who He is. And as the Father sent him, one of the main things, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How did the Father send Jesus? The heart of love. It started with love. It continued with love as Jesus walked with them and faithfully walked with them. And he wants to continue that. They will know your disciples for the love you have one for another. That's the goal, is love. Actually, is it Timothy? The goal of our instruction is love. That's all we can instruct one another, is to walk and get to know Jesus, fall in love with him, allow him to love others through you and the love he has for you. You should be excited about it. So, let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you haven't left us here as orphans. You haven't left us here to figure it all out. Lord, you know the love each of us have for you. We just ask that you would take it further and deeper and increase our love for you and allow that increase to motivate us to love the world around us, to see them as children, as we see ourselves as your children. Just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Any thoughts?